So our final speaker this morning is Sarah Hirsch, University of Maryland, and her title is Isotopic Evaluation of Deep Soil Nitrogen Uptake by Cover Crop Systems.
Happy to see everyone out today. As you said, we're looking at deep soil nitrogen uptake by cover crop systems. So our first question that we wanted to answer is how much nitrogen do crops leave behind in the soil? So this picture is showing a rye field, and it was taken around Thanksgiving. And what I wanted to point out was the dark green stripes you can see, and these are spaced every other corn row, and that's leftover nitrogen from the June side dressing that was intended to be taken up by the corn. That's leftover and being taken up by the rye. So that was just some evidence, and that wasn't a particularly low yielding corn crop. That's typically seen all over in the area when the nitrogen is side dressed every other row. Those green rows stick out. So we wanted to ask the follow-up question, how deep is the nitrogen that is left behind in the cornfield? So this was some preliminary data from Wang and Weil, and it's yet to be published, but they found that the nitrogen in the plant biomass was significantly higher than the nitrogen that the difference in the nitrogen in the soil profile up to 1 meter. So when 150 kilograms of nitrogen was taken up by the cover crop, only 40 kilograms was missing from the upper meter of soil. So where did the other 110 kilograms of nitrogen come from? And what we're hypothesizing is that the cover crops are taking this missing nitrogen out of deeper soil layers, deeper than the 1 meter that they measured. And so in order to test this preliminary hypothesis, we did transect sampling across Maryland and Pennsylvania on 14 farms, and we took 10 soil cores per farm from 0 to 210 centimeters. So we were going down about 7 feet. And what we found was that, yes, indeed, there was a large pool of nitrogen remaining in the soil profile, 200 to 500 kilograms of nitrogen. And this was nitrate plus ammonium, remained in the upper 2 meters of soil, and approximately half of that was found below 90 centimeters. So you can see the blue bubbles are the farms, the sites that we did the transect sampling, and they're all within, or mostly within, the Chesapeake Bay watershed. So there's a lot of efforts to reduce the nitrogen loading from agricultural land into the bay, which is suffering from eutrophication. And we think that cover crops can provide one opportunity to do this. So this is another way of looking at that same data that we took on the 14 farms. Each line is showing a particular farm, and I broke it up between the more coastal plain, loamy sand to sandy loam fields, and on the left is the loam to silty clay loam residual soils. So in both the sandy soils and the residual soils, we're seeing significant pools of nitrogen all the way down the soil profile, a little bit higher in the surface layers, but substantial pools all the way down to 7 feet. And we can also see on many of the farms bulges of nitrogen, which we think is coming from nitrogen applications to crops that are just slowly working their way down deeper and deeper in the soil profile. So this pool of nitrogen, the deep nitrogen, represents an untapped potential resource for farmers, and it could both reduce the nitrogen loading into bodies of water, and it can also decrease the fertilizer needs that the farmers will have to apply and in turn give provide them with cost savings. So commonly in Maryland, cover crops are planted after the corn or soybean is harvested, and they get planted by October to November. And we think that this is too late to capture these deep pools of nitrogen that are in the soil profile. So The cover crops planted this late, they establish, they grow small roots, but really they do most of their growth in the spring. But we are hypothesizing that by the spring, the nitrogen in these deep soil layers is going to be leached down into the groundwater and out of reach for the spring roots to capture. And this is just another photo showing the difference that 1 month earlier planting could take. So the radish on the right was planted in late August versus 1 month later. The little radish that I'm holding in my hand, you can see the drastic difference in the plant and the root growth. So our hypothesis is that the deep-rooted early planted cover crops can capture deep soil nitrogen before it's lost to eutrophication-sensitive waters. So we think that if cover crops are planted in August to September, that they're going to have substantial root growth in the fall and be able to capture this deep pool of nitrogen and recycle it back to the soil surface, which in turn can be used for the following year's crops. And key to this project is that location matters. So 1 kilogram of nitrogen that's a meter or more deep in the soil is much more important to capture than the nitrogen that's on the surface in terms of what's going to be lost and out of reach in the future. So in order to test this, we're doing work with nitrogen 15 labeled potassium nitrate as a tracer, and we set up plots at the Belchsvar experiment station, and we have we buried the tracer at either 1 meter deep or 2 meters deep, and on top of that we planted forage radish and rye, and we planted it on 2 different planting dates, late August or early October. And we did this on 2 sites. One of the sites was Christiana clay and the other was a downer loamy sand. And then we assessed the nitrogen 15 content by harvesting the biomass above where we had buried the tracer. This figure just shows how we placed the tracer, and I have more photos on this slide. We augered our hole, and then we put this PVC pipe in and poured the tracer down the pipe to ensure that it was getting at either 1 meter or 2 meters. We rinsed the pipe out, and then we backfilled the hole with 30 centimeters of sand, and then most of the hole we filled with bentonite sand mix, which expanded and provided a seal because we didn't want the roots to preferentially grow down where we had augured. And the top 30 centimeters, we returned the topsoil. So we harvested the cover crops in late November, and then the radish overwintered, killed, and the rye obviously survived, so we harvested the rye regrowth again on May 8th. And the samples were analyzed by the Cornell University Stable Isotope Lab. So this is what we found from our November biomass. The y-axis shows the percent atom percent nitrogen 15 to 14, so whether it picked up any of this nitrogen label. And you can see the blue bars are from our sandy site, and the orange bars are from the clay site. And the darker colored bars are early planting, and the paler bars on the right are the late planting. And then this is showing if there was a nitrogen 15 signal, meaning that the roots went down to 1 meter, down to 2 meters, and then we also had the no nitrogen 15 control as a comparison. So we found that the only cover crops, and I want to note that the radish and the rye were not significantly different. So we found the same patterns with both of them. So the only cover crops that reached the tracer was where it was planted at 1 meter on the sandy site, and it was only the cover crops that were planted early. So there was no tracer found in any of the cover crops planted on October 1st, meaning that they did not reach the 1 meter or the 2 meter depth. And there is no indication of nitrogen 15 enrichment in the clay site. And there's also no indication that any of the cover crops reach 2 meters deep. And this is the results from the rye cover crops from both the late November biomass and then also when we sampled the regrowth in May. So again, the rye only reached the 1 meter depth and only when it was planted earlier. But in the rye, we found that it reached it on both the sandy and the clayey soils. But the late planted cover crops still did not reach the tracer in when it was planted in October. So these figures show the total biomass in kilograms per hectare of the different cover crops. And what I wanted to point out here is that the October 1st planted rye regrowth, even though it had substantial growth in the spring, it still did not reach that nitrogen 15 that was 1 meter deep in early September. So the early planted rye planted August 28th, it had 2,500 kilograms per hectare of growth in the fall. And that's the same amount of growth that the late planted rye cover crop had. It had a small amount of that growth in the fall and a significant amount of that growth in the spring. So, but even though that had the same total amount of growth as that planted early, it still did not take up the nitrogen 15 from 1 meter deep. And that's because the nitrogen 15 is leaching down over the winter. And even though it has substantial growth in the spring, that nitrogen is out of reach and likely into the groundwater. These are the results from our soil cores that we took right alongside where we buried the tracer. So we placed the tracer at the 1 meter depth in early September, and then we took soil cores beside that on December 7th. And we found a bulge of that nitrogen 15 at around 120 to 130 centimeters. So that's what we believe it leached down about 30 centimeters by early December. When we went back in mid-May to take more soil cores, we found no evidence of that nitrogen 15 anywhere in the soil profile all the way down to 210 centimeters. We couldn't find any of that. So we think that it is leached over a meter over the winter, which supports our hypothesis that it's crucial to pick up this deeper nitrogen in the fall because it's going to be out of reach by the spring growth. So in conclusion, our hypothesis is supported that the root growth in the fall is critical for capturing the deep soil nitrogen, and that we can't rely on the spring growth to reach this deep soil nitrogen because by then it's already going to be out of reach. And I want to thank our funding sources, Northeast SARE and the Maryland Soybean Board, my advisor, Dr. Ray Weil, and all of our collaborators from University of Maryland, Penn State University. A special thanks to all of our farmers and the student workers and interns. Oh, the where we found in the soil cores where the right. Nitrogen.
Your last day is 5 years. You're saying that M15 signal was flushed out. That implies what? A meter of water flushed out. Well, half a meter of water flushed out of the profile.
Mm-hmm.
Is that consistent with the water budget with what you think was going on?
I think so, yeah.
So how do you know when you did your backfilling that
that the
you put a hole, mm-hmm.
The tracer.
Mm-hmm. How do you know the water just didn't go down that hole that you just put in the soil?
Oh, you mean how do we know that it reached that 2 meter depth that we wanted it?
Well, you know, you have this hole, right? You put some soil in the backfill, right? So,
So we buried the tracer at the desired depth, and we did that using a PVC pipe to be sure it went there. And then we rinsed the pipe out. And then we put just a small layer of soil, and then on top of that we put bentonite and sand mix, which expanded and sealed off the hole. So the idea was that the roots in the water would not preferentially go down there because it was sealed with the bentonite clay.
If I'm wrong, but you use 99% M percent enrichment.
Yes.
I assume, I'm inferring from your work here, that it was for the attenuation of the N15 signal. Basically to say we found it, we didn't find any. Not
right.
Necessarily a percent recovery.
Right, exactly.
So you don't intend to measure, you know, how much did we actually recover.
Right.
When you have 99% enrichment.
So it was to know if the roots reached that depth or not, which is what we were trying to answer this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The amount of nitrogen with depth is really surprising. I mean, it's much different than we've seen in the Midwest. I mean, doesn't corn
that one?
Get down? I mean, the corn crop growing?
It does, but it's...
But doesn't it utilize a lot of that nitrogen? Why is there so much left?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's where we're finding. Some of them are, some of them aren't, and we're finding similar patterns on the sandy fields and on the clay fields and different cropping rotations. Some of them are dairy, some of them aren't. About half of that was ammonium and half nitrate, so the ammonium we think is more residual and the nitrate moving quicker, but yeah, that's what we found. Yep. And we also think it could be every year they're applying so much nitrogen, and we think that this is just like as we see the bulges that could be from last year's extra nitrogen that's just moving down the profile.
Thanks again, Sarah.
Thank you.